Okay, so we learned the sugya in Brachos Daf Lamed Beis Amud Aleph, which says Dorash Rav Simloi La'olam Nisad Adam Shvacha Shel Makom Va'akach Yispalel, and it derives it from Moshe Rabbeinu. That first you have to have Shevach, and then you have Tefillah. And the Rif brings down the other Gemaras that are related. This is obviously is interpreted to be a reference to Pesukei de Zimra. He brings down the Gemara in Shabbos, where the Gemara says, "Kol Omer, Kol Yehi Chelki Im Gormei Hal B'Chol Yom." Rabbi Yossi says he wants to be together. He should have the Olam Haba for those people who finish Hal every day. And the Gemara asks, "How could you say Gormei Hal B'Chol Yom is Harizu B'Char Megadit?" So the Gemara says, "Ki Kamina Pesukei de Zimra." So we're talking about Pesukei de Zimra over here. Pashup Shat, the terms Pesukei de Zimra is translated as words of praise, words of song.
Trimming.
We're going to see words of trimming. Very good. Yes, that's the Kabbalistic interpretation.
Words of trimming.
We'll get to that, hopefully. You remind me, Mark. Yes, that's the Kabbalistic interpretation.
You guys don't
read and it has to do with the interpretation of it has to do with learning of what does it mean, Chozen Olam Me'orcha Melchoma. Well, hopefully, somebody remind me when I talk about that supposed Yerushalmi. So you get a big schar if you say the end of Tehillim, and we have another Gemara that says Kol Omer Tehillim L'David B'Chol Yom Shalosh Pamim Hareze Mebe Muftach Lo Shu Ben Olam Haba. So therefore, all these things together, the Rif says constitute Pesukei de Zimra, and the Rif says that is an additional thing that happened. V'takinu rabbonon lameima brachim mikamayu brachim mibasrayu. You say all these things, and at some point in time, who did it, when it happened, doesn't seem to be any clear consensus. There was a bracha that was instituted before this shvacha shomakom, which we call Baruch She'amar, and there's a bracha that was instituted after these shvacha shomakom, which we call Yishtabach. When and where these brachas were composed is not really clearly known. Their arm brought down from a certain sfarim that the Baruch She'amar came down on a piece of paper in Minas Shamayim. Some Rishonim say it was composed by Anshei Knesset HaGedola. Others say it was composed by the Gaonim. It presents a problem because in general we hold, I think we paskin, like many Rishonim would say, that you can't, that there, any bracha that was not composed and mentioned in Shas, you can't say. In other words, there are brachos that were developed afterwards, but we hold that you don't say any of those brachos. Are you saying something, Erwin? You tell me a bracha that was instituted later on. I'll be happy to hear it.
Because that's not later on.
Okay, good. So that's the Rift says. The Rift then makes another point after introducing the fact. This is where, by the way, this is where it comes from. That if you want to say, well, how do you know you say Baruch She'amar and Yishtabach? How do you know that? Well, it comes from the Rif and other Rishonim who say this in context with this. This drasha of Rav Simloi, and let me mention at this point the Bach. The Bach says that it's very important. Rav Simloi is crucial over here because he says if you only had the Gemara in Shabbos, which says that Yehi Chelki Migom Bichal B'Chol Yom, and you only had the Gemara in Daf Dal Amud Beis Kol Omer Tehillim L'David B'Chol Yom Muftach Lo Shu Ben Olam Haba. It would be very nice, and you should say those things, but you wouldn't have instituted a takana to make a bracha before and after. The only reason that there is a bracha before and after is because la'olim yisadeh od l'shvach shemakom is not just an etzah tova, it's not just a secret information as to how to get a good seat in Olam Haba. It's a requirement. Once it's a requirement, so then already the chacham could be sacking a bracha before and a bracha after. What exactly the nature of the brachas are, I really don't know. It's I don't know if it's a birchas mitzvah or not. I don't think so. But Marcus pointed out that by Hallel, which is a comparable thing, where you have a bracha before and a bracha after, there obviously the bracha before is a birchas mitzvah. And the Bach concludes though that the only reason why you need these, the only question is why do you have to use these particular shvachim for HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Why don't you use other shevach? So that's because of these are obviously very important shvachim. As we see that it gets you Olam Haba and it gets you a good seat in Olam Haba. Okay, so that's the Bach. So the other Chiddush that the Rif says over here, that's not in the Gemara, is that now that we know that we have a bracha before and a bracha after, end result is that you cannot speak from Baruch Sh'amar until after Shmona Esrei. Hilchach, the Rif says. Hilchach. Miboyele le'inish delolish ta'yuye. A person is not allowed to talk. Mechimatzchil b'baruch Sh'amar adem sayam le'inish Shmona Esrei. Okay? So the question is, well, first of all, why can't you talk between Yishtabach, between Psukei Dezimra and Birchas Krishma? We didn't cover that anywhere. Where does that come from? So if you look in the tour, first of all, the tour mentions that this shir of Baruch Sh'amar is mentioned in the Sefer Echolos. That's the earliest reference to it. Okay?
Where is it?
The tour. Tour or Chaim. Right over there.
Oh, okay.
It's mentioned in Sefer Echolos. Echolos is a compilation of Midrashim, Kabbalistic Midrashim, to talk about the Kabbalistic activities of Rabbi Shmuel, Kohen Gadol. You know, this whole idea of Rabbi Shmuel was all, he went Lashemayim, and, you know, by the Asar Harugi Malchus. Well, that idea that he did such things comes from the Sefer HaKhalos. There's a close to the Kabbalistic activities of Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Akiva. And so that's where it comes from. And he mentions also that the reference there is Rosho Kesem Poz. The beginning of the Tefillah is Poz. Poz is a Pasuk in Shir HaShirim, Rosho Kesem Poz. And the gematria of the word Poz is what? 87. As you remember last week, how important gematrias are to davening from the Hasidic Ashkenaz, right? So 87 is, you should have 87 words in Baruch Sh'amar. If you check our Baruch Sh'amar, I don't know. Very often these things don't quite work out. But I assure you, if you look in the Siddur HaRokeach, you will find the right number of words. And that's the reason I mentioned already to some of you, that's the reason why we don't say the grammatically correct form of Baruch Sh'amar. We say Hamahulo, or many people say Hamahulo Befe Hatish Befe. What's the Lashon? Hamahulo Befe Hatish Bachos, is that the Lashon? Hamahulo. Look at that. We say Hamahulo befe amo. That's what our school, this version of our school says. Befe amo is grammatically incorrect because it's the mouth of. It should be befi amo, not befe amo. Why do we say befe amo?
I know.
Because befe is gematria 87. That's the reason.
Really?
That's really the reason. Beis fe hey is 87. That's the reason why those people who say befe say befe.
Right. It is.
Anyway.
It says Asid Nusach Achra.
Yeah. Well, it's.
I so always learned.
The question is whether or not you should have the Kabbalistic gematria or the grammatic correctness. Art scroll is a machlokas art scroll, but different art scrolls.
Oh really?
I'm sure. I'm not 100% sure, but I'm pretty sure. If you look at the regular Ashkenaz art scroll, not the English, the regular one.
No,
it says Befi.
It says Befi.
No, the regular art school.
Regular art school.
No, what is the regular art school? This is the
one without the translation. I think I'm not really sure. Not that that should be determining, but you can see that it's a. Mark is looking it up for us because he always looks up everything. It's a good habit to get into.
You can't find it.
In
a Baruch Sh'amar.
He says befeh actually, and then it has a one.
Right.
And on the bottom it says nusach acher befeh.
I knew it says befeh.
So
they drive me nuts.
So that's the source. That's why the two nuschos. One's grammatically correct, and one is kabbalistically correct, numerologically correct. Anyway, so that's the Torah says that, and then the Torah says something very important. He says that obviously, like the rift, that you can't talk in between Baruch Sha'amar and Yishtaba, and then he introduces. This is he quotes Yerushalmi. The Chen Yesh Yerushalmi. This is by the way the Torah in Siman Nun Aleph. The Chen Yesh Yerushalmi Hasach Ben Yishtabach Yotzeor Averu Hi Biyado the Chozen Lo Malchem Luchama. So this is the source for this Yerushalmi. As I mentioned to I think all of you, we don't know where this Yerushalmi is. Nobody has this Yerushalmi. It's quoted by certain Rishonim, but we don't have it. And what it says is that someone who talks between Yishtabach and Yotzer, or obviously we don't have this Yerushalmi because we don't have any Gemara that even mentions that you say Yishtabach or Baruch Shomer altogether. So how could we have this?
It's
Chozel Melchem Melchama, which Rashi, there's one other place in Shas we have this expression of Chozel Olav Melchem Melchama. Anybody know where it is? Who I didn't tell? No? It's Gemara Menachos. The Gemara talks about a Soch Bein tefillin shel yad, tefillin shel rosh, averu hi biyado, v'chozen lo me'ochama. And Rashi explains, what does that mean? It means that it's severe enough in avera that when the koi meshuach melchama says, ish hayare v'rach halevav, that whoever is afraid should go back and desist from participating in the battle. And the Chazal said, what does it mean, hayare? It means hayare mi avera shebiyado. And this is enough of an avera to disqualify someone from participating in a milchamis mitzvah.
So the bracha for shalosh
hafsa? That gemara is actually a bit complicated over there because there's a whole machlokes of Rishonim about how many brachas do you make? Most Rishonim hold that you only make one bracha on both Yad, Rosh, and Yad. Mm-hmm. Yad and Rosh. And if you soch, then you end up making yourself having to make two. And that's the problem over there. Or one of the problems over there. Anyway, I don't want to get into that complicated Shiloh over there. Okay, so we see from this tour that there is, for some reason, an inyan of not being mafsik between Yishtabach and Yotzer Or. So now we already got ourselves from Baruch Sha'amar to Yishtabach, from Yishtabach to Yotzer Or, from Yotzer Or to Goal Yisroel. We know, how do we know you can't be mafsik? Because there's a whole discussions about being mafsik. You're not allowed to be mafsik there, right? It's in the middle of Birchus Kriya Shema. Between Goal Yisroel and Shemona Esra, you know you're not allowed to be mafsik. Oh, I got an extra page, you're right. Because you have to be somech geula l'tfila. Okay, and obviously there you can't be mafsik in the middle of Shemona Esrei. So we now have gotten sort of from Baruch Sha'amar until the rifts after Shemona Esrei. Now, however, there's a whole discussion about this idea of not being mafsik between Yishtabach and Yotzer Or, that the Rav Amram Gon says in his Siddur, goes back to whatever, 10th century, says that in general it's true that you're not allowed to talk between Yishtabach and Birchus Kriya Shema. However, that's only b'midi d'lav tzorchi tzibuhu. Abomidi tzorchi tzibur, ola tzorch mishibolos panetzim and atztoka, oboi lemifsak le shaper damya. And certainly it's brought down, it's makom mitzvah, it's brought down. So, and this was actually the minhag in many shuls, that if they had a communal, when did they deal with communal issues? If somebody came from Eretz Yisrael, the Meshulach came from Eretz Yisrael and needed to make an appeal, when did he make the appeal? After davening? Nobody's around after davening. Before davening? He can't do it. Middle of davening? This is when it was done. Okay? But there were communal issues that needed to be. And this minhag existed as far as, I've read historical accounts, that this minhag existed up until the Second World War in certain communities. Yeah. In Litta, they, if somebody had an issue and needed to be addressed, this is when they would address it. So you see that what? That in general you're not supposed to be mopsik, but there's an exception for tzorchei tzibur or tzorch mishbolis panis, menat staka, and we'll also see that there's also tzorch mitzvah. If you look in the Daki Moshe over there in Simen Nundalad in the tour, he says that that tzorch mitzvah is also permissible to be mafsik. But he asked the question, the Ramah, this Daki Moshe is the Ramah. Ramah was the Rav Krakow, right? So there was apparently a minig in Krakow that they were mafsik between Yishtabach and Kaddish. That's where they made the Hefzik. Okay? That they were Masik between Yishtabach and the Kaddish. Because when it says you can be Masik between Yishtabach and Baruch Hu, or Yotzer Or, it doesn't say exactly where do you do it. Do you do it between... By the way, there are other parts of Pesukah Dezimra that we say that developed at a different point. We say Shiras Hayam, we say Baruch David. Those are, that's not... Obviously, we have to... If you were really interested in knowing about our Pesukah Dezimra, you'd have to investigate where those came from. Because so far... They haven't been mentioned anywhere, right? But the question is, where are you mafsik? Are you mafsik between Yishtabach and Kaddish, or between Kaddish and Baruch Hu, or between Baruch Hu and Yotzer Or? It's a possibility, right? So the Ramah says in Krakow, the minhag was that they were mafsik between Yishtabach and Kaddish. So he says, and then they would start, this is what we do, by the way. When we, those people who put on their talis and tefillin between Yishtabach and Baruch Hu, they put it on when? Between Yishtabach and Kaddish. Those people make a bracha at that time who have their talis on. They do it between Yishtabach and Kaddish, right? So the Ramah says it can't be, can't do that. Because then what ends up happening is that they're going to say Kaddish separated from what came before, and the Kaddish goes on what came before. So therefore the Ramah was the Posek Ador, okay, for all, not only for his time, but the Ramah was the Posek for all the Doris that came. We Ashkenazim passing like the Ramah as a default, unless there's some reason not to. Okay, so he said he changed the minhag. There was a minhag in Krakow that they used to have this whatever, this pause between Yishtabach and Kaddish, and he said, no, you shouldn't have it between Yishtabach and Kaddish, you should have it between Kaddish and Baruch. Kaddish and Baruch, right, because you have to have the, because we don't know of any reason why can't you be Masim Kaddish and Baruch? If the Kaddish goes on, came before, so why can't Masim Kaddish and Baruch? So that's what he changed. And then he says it came to his attention, the Kolbo is a Rishon, who brings down, it's actually a digest of many Rishonim. He brings down many Rishonim. So he said that, he bases this on the Kolbo, okay? So he bases this Kolbo, and he was Mevatel the minute, because the Kolbo says that you cannot say... What you could do is, I'm sorry, let me get this right, that he says, if for some reason you were mafsik between the Kaddish and the Pesukim Zimra, then you'd have to say Pesukim before the Kaddish, because the Kaddish has to go back on Pesukim. But then, so based on this, he was invited the minute, and he says, you shouldn't be mafsik between Yishtabach and Kaddish, and you should rather be mafsik after Kaddish between Kaddish and Baruch Hu. And then he says, but then he had charata, because he saw written in Ozeruah that there's an even more of a reason you can't be mafsik between Kaddish and Baruch Hu. He doesn't say why. Ozeruah doesn't say why. Ozeruah is a Rishon. Ozeruah is the basic Rishon of many Minhagi Ashkenazes based on the Ozeruah. He doesn't say why, and therefore he says, Shma Mino, you see from over here, because what he says is, if you get a talis between what? Between Yishtabach and Kaddish, you can put it on. If you get it after Kaddish, you can't put it on anymore, because it would be a hefsek. So therefore, he said he had changed his mind, and he said you shouldn't be maftik between Kaddish and Baruch Hu, and therefore he went back to the Minhag HaKodum, and he says that the Jews of Krakow were right, even though they may not have known why they were right, but the Minhag was correct. That's what he says. Okay. And
so
if he says...
It comes out that we should be maftik between his Tavach and Kaddish.
Okay, so then the question... So what we do... And if it's... So you maftik... He says, therefore, you should be mafsik where between Yishtabach and Kaddish. And what do you have to do, though? You have to say some psukim so the Kaddish has something to go on. So, and that's, if you look in the Shulchan Aruch, you'll see that's the way it's paskins. One second. That's where we paskin. I'm not going to go through the whole Shulchan Aruch over here in Dalet. I want to show you a couple of things. Look at the Mishnah Berurah on the bottom. Hamasapir. Okay, that's going on the Yerushalmi, supposed Yerushalmi, that a soch bein yishtabach l'yotzer averihi v'chozim l'yolchem l'chama. So the Mishnah Berurah brings down the Mogen Avraham, with the chsavim, and the Mogen Avraham is doing the chsavim. What are the chsavim? Chsavim is a reference to Kisvei Ari. Whenever you find, it's actually Kisvei Reb Chaim Vital, but basically it means it's the Ari. Whenever you see the expression "ksav," that's what it's referring to. "V'ksav kasav lomar baseresi mechuva mizma mamakim kuzi chashem bein yishtabach liyotzer." Okay, that is a minhag brought down in Yari, and many people have this minhag. I've heard the tzarech iyun. The Mishnah Berurah says tzarech iyun. He's quoting the Ramo who says tzarech iyun. What's the tzarech iyun?
He doesn't say where kaddish falls.
Right. Well, it's true, but where do we say it?
After
Yishtabach,
before
Kaddish. Okay, that's so. He says Tzorech Iyun. How can you do this? Right.
Yeah.
All right. So it's not just the Magen Avraham says Tzorech Iyun, and the Mishnah Berurah says Tzorech Iyun. Okay.
They don't do it in the Chol Tzayim.
They don't do it in the Chol Tzayim.
Yeah.
Yeah. Minhag Agroah is not to do it.
We do it here.
Right. And Minhag Ashkenaz is of course not to do it. This is a recent minhag, obviously. It's based on the Ari, so it's only 16th century. Okay. Chozem mi'orchem l'choma. So poshep shad mi'orchem l'choma is rotzolom d'ksiv b'krua mi'yishay rori v'ach v'leivav v'yashav l'veisav v'amachazal harorah mi'aver shabiyado zel gam kem l'chal v'erasi v'el yirabah kosav. Okay. B'shem atem Moshe. This is the Kabbalistic interpretation of what does it mean hasoch ben Hasoch bein hasoch is the lashon shami supposedly hasoch bein yishtabach liyotzer chozov merachim ulchama. The Kabbalistic interpretation is the following: shehaklipos mevatin lalas atfila v'aydei psukei dezimra machrisin osam uchshesoch chozno olaha b'shvil ha'avera hazos osam hagadudim shehem marichin ulchama beinenu b'avonaseinu rabim alkein adkan. I'm sorry. Okay, no, it's Alkein Roy Shalo Yisat L'Saper. That's what it is. Okay, what does this mean? So the Kabbalistic interpretation of Psukei Dezimra is, you know, the Kabbalistically there's a whole other structure of tefillah, nothing to do with what we talked about till now. And I'm not going to get into it, what its structure is, but there are four different olamos, and different parapilas have to do different olamos. The function of Psukei Dezimra Kabbalistically is they interpret the word, as Mark interpreted, that it doesn't come, this word zemer does not mean song, but it means to prune, right? That's what the Hebrew word is lismor, or whatever, it means to prune. And what it means is, apparently, there are certain forces in the universe that try to intercede to prevent your tefillos from successfully accomplishing their goal. There are terms used for those forces. And Psukei Dezimra cuts away those forces. It cuts them down. In other words, it paves the way. That's why, according to the Kabbalistically, La'olam yisaper adam b'shvacho shel makom achach yispalo is because the need to do the krisa of these forces that intercede and prevent your tefillos from being successful. It's not the simple interpretation of, oh, first we have to praise God and then we can ask something from Him. So, according to them, chozen lo me'olcha melchama means that the combatants who you have successfully decimated, by saying your Psukhi de Zimra, if you talk now after Psukhi de Zimra, before you start saying Yotzer Or, Chozrin Olav. They send reinforcements and they come back to battle, and now you're in trouble. Okay, that's the Kabbalistic interpretation of this. Now, as far as I used to rub the shayla, and the Rav pointed this out to me. I asked the Rav the Shala, I said to him, so according to this Ramah, if you're masik between Psukim Zimra and Kaddish, so you're supposed to say some Psukim. At least the Chazan should say some Psukim before he says the Kaddish. So I said, do we do that? No, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about every time when you end up davening at a time that you can't put on talis and tefillin, or you can't make a bracha on talis and tefillin, and you're going to make the bracha, or you're going to put on the talis and tefillin between yishtabach and kaddish, mm-hmm. So the chazan should say some psukim, right? Mm-hmm. So I said to him, do we do that? So he said, no, we don't do that. Look at the Mishnah Berurah. So the Mishnah Berurah says, this is the last thing on the page. Last line. Uvze ein tzorich hashatz lachzo avolom apsukim tishehia mu'etes hi. If you're stopping to argue about Menachem's seat in the middle of it, then you can't say Kaddish until you said some psukim. But if you're just making a shikichonim mitzosef tzivon olisati matzitzis, and I guess the birkos hatfillin, so that's a shehia mu'etes, and that's not considered a hefsek. We'll stop over here.
Cool.
Oh, thank you. Okay. Famous on both pages.
Great.